how socialism is impacting the country and the church. We're going to recap the Christian Worldview Speaker Series event that took place just last night here on the Christian Worldview Today with our guest Curtis Bowers, producer of the Agenda Films. Our mission here on the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and also to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Well, if you didn't get a chance to come to the event last night or watch it online, we have it linked at our website, thechristianworldview.org. We're also going to do some of the highlights of the event last night. We were just very pleased with just everything about the event, from where it was hosted to, I think most of all, to the message that Curtis gave. He just did a great job, and we're going to just be hearing from him in just a few minutes. Now, in case you haven't been listening recently in the program, we've been talking about how socialism is increasing. It's on the rise. It's favorable, especially to the young generation here in America. It's an all-encompassing worldview which believes a bigger, more intrusive government ordering every aspect of life will result in a better, and this is the key phrase, more equitable, forced equality. That's what socialism is about, forced equality, not voluntary charity, but forced equality, future for all. And the structure for socialism goes right back to, you know who, Karl Marx, in his book in 1848, The Communist Manifesto. Because socialism is the transitional step between free market capitalism and communism. That's how you get there. Now, unfortunately, the worldview of socialism and communism didn't die when the Soviet Union went under, or when the famous communists of the last century, like Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Hitler, or Castro, died. In fact, socialism and communism, I think they're the natural bent, the natural desire, the default position of unregenerate mankind to achieve their socialist utopia, their heaven on earth. They're looking for heaven too. They're going to try to create it right here on earth. And to do that, they need big government, because ultimately at the end of government is a gun pointed at you to do what they want you to do. Socialism is alive and well in this country, despite what some people may think. All you have to do is look at the Democrat Party right now and its leaders of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They're avowed Democrat socialists. They're just open about it. But it's also impacting the evangelical church as well, which is the most troubling thing, where the Great Commission priority of individual salvation, go out and make disciples, individual disciples, through the preaching of the gospel, that's being slowly, or maybe not so slowly, replaced with the pursuit, the priority of rectifying perceived social injustices with race or gender, those kinds of things. So this weekend on the Christian Worldview, we're going to recap some of the highlights of the Christian Worldview Speaker Series event last night with filmmaker Curtis Bowers. And Curtis, thanks for getting up early after a late night last night. I know you were driving after the event last night with your family, but thanks for coming on the Christian Worldview this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, just a couple things. You know, usually when you come to an event like this, you were the speaker. You were speaking on how socialism is impacting the country and the church. What were some of your takeaways from the event? What did you learn? What struck you? Audience questions. What did you take away?
Well, I was very encouraged to see how much interest there is in this and how much concern. So that was great to see that there was hundreds of people in there that wanted to understand this better and knew it was something that was a threat to us. It wasn't just some harmless do-gooder activity. It was something that was going to, as Obama said, fundamentally transform us. And so that was really encouraging.
Why do you think this has become more relevant now? I think when President Obama became president, when he said what you just said about fundamentally transforming the United States of America, and a lot of his policies were on the socialist tracks, universal health care and so forth. Why do you think, since this ideology has been around for such a long time, this is nothing new. This has been around since Karl Marx, when he's kind of structurized it in his book. But even before that, the roots were in the French Revolution and all that. Why is it rising now, do you think, in the country?
I think because we've raised a generation that is historically illiterate. They didn't study, most young people today did not study the 20th century and all the atrocities that were committed by socialist countries, whether it was National Socialism or Soviet Socialism. So they don't know what socialism is. They just know it sounds like, hey, they're going to get something for free, and that sounds pretty good to their millennial minds that have just not been given the education and the experience and the training they should to be productive adults.
You know, as I think about the different issues, and we'll get into these, you're only going to be with us for a segment today. I know you have another event going on today in Wisconsin. But as you think about the various policy issues being pushed forward, universal health care, universal basic income, the Green New Deal, unlimited immigration, open borders, which is really globalism, it's against nationalism, government-controlled education, free college and student loan debt forgiveness, elimination of citizen gun rights, the redefinition of biblical family, marriage, and morality, and then, of course, social justice. That's the one that's impacting the evangelical church. You look at all these issues, and correct me if I'm wrong, but all of those issues are socialistic in to one degree or another, aren't they?
Yes. No, they are. We're taking on a mindset of the slothful, of the people that are not productive. Americans traditionally have been the ones, these immigrants that come here and become Americans, they want to become Americans, and then they know they're going to go work hard in their little business, maybe live in the back of a shop, but they can make it, and they do year after year after year still. It's amazing the entrepreneurial stories of families and people that come here and wanting to be here and thankful to be here and the blessings they get. That used to be the American dream, is I can make it through hard work and creativity and ingenuity. I can go as high and far as I want to go. Now it's, what can I get from somebody else? How can it be the easiest path for me? It's a different mentality what has happened. The America 50, 60 years ago, that all the things that made that generation have not been put into this generation. So they don't have those ambitions and excitement about, I remember when Ronald Reagan was president, I was 15, and he talked about, you young people, go start businesses and enjoy the free enterprise system, like those young men that started a computer company out of their garage. Of course, he was talking about Apple Computer, which today we know is even one of the largest companies in the world, but he was talking about how they had done that, and that was motivating to me. I was like, I can't wait to get old enough to start a business. So we need to inspire them in those kind of ways, which are much more fulfilling and rewarding than to get a little handout for nothing and then but be content with very little.
Mm. Curtis Bowers with us today on the Christian Realview, the producer of the Agenda films. The website is it agendadocumentary.com? I don't have it in front of me.
Yes, that's right.
Agendadocumentary.com. There's two films, excellent films, highly recommend them. Curtis and his family came last night to be the featured guest at our Christian Realview Speaker Series event. By the way, this event is, I believe, currently on our website already, thechristianrealview.org. I'm sure it's on our Facebook page at the Christian Realview on Facebook, so you can go there and watch the entire event for free. One of the highlights of the event was just having your family sing, Curtis. That was just such a special, beautiful part of the evening, and I know the people who attended really enjoyed that aspect of it. Curtis, is there any going back on this? Oftentimes when you get people addicted to government, to big government programs, there's no going back on it. You know, the new society, the New Deal, people don't want to go back on the take from the government. And I wouldn't say our country is socialistic now, but there's socialistic policies interwoven in our free market capitalistic system. You know, I mean, the most obvious one is our educational system, our government controlled educational system. You have to pay taxes whether you want to or not. And those taxes go to one choice, government schools. Now, you can pay yourself to go to a private school. You can homeschool. Communism would be if you had no choice, you had to go to that government school. But that's a socialistic policy right there. Is there any going back on this, Curtis? I know that we can be informed and we can have a different worldview about it, and we can work hard to mitigate this coming into our own churches. But is there any going back on this in our country?
Well, it's sometimes people have to learn things the hard way. But I'm so thankful that even right now, if all of this is being so pushed forward, God is kind enough to have had Venezuela start crumbling to again let us know that way does not work. That path is a complete disaster. And so I don't know if there is or not, but maybe my prayer is that if we have to step down that road several steps, that we'll learn very quickly. God will have the consequences be such that maybe there'll still be something to turn back to, as we see and the young people see, they were lied to. That you can't get something for nothing. There's no such thing as a free lunch, and that but having a system where you're free to be productive and reap the benefits of that, that is worth fighting for and turning back to. So it looks like that's where we're heading for sure, because they have the hearts and minds of the young people. But we need to be educating those around us and explaining to them, hey, this isn't what it appears to be, and that we need to be praying for our country and doing what we can, like you said, in our churches to keep them on the right track so the light stays bright with the gospel and with the truth of the Bible. And with his help, he might help us turn it back.
Yeah, last question for you, Curtis. Curtis Bowers with us today on the Christian Worldview. You went into in-depth last night how this worldview of socialism is creeping into the evangelical church. You mentioned that. We'll play some sound bites after you're off the air today, but how it's just taken over the mainline denominations. That's why the way they are is because social justice went into those, and the gospel was lost, and now they're just social good leftist organizations. How do you see it? We have about a minute and a half here. How do you see it creeping into the evangelical church?
Well, kind of that same way we're believing that the idea of social justice, which is really just socialism packaged for the church, we're believing that is a Christian thing to do because they've switched the definitions on us of what love is. We've allowed them to take the cheap, meaningless love of the world, which is just tolerance, and say that is real love. And so instead of loving our neighbor, we're just tolerating our neighbor. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. So because of the definitions changed by twisting scripture and redefining terms, they're leading people to believe that this, you know, justice is having everything equal, which, of course, we know the definition of justice is getting what you deserve or what you have earned. So by changing those definitions, which they've been so good at in so many different areas, they're confusing the Christians, which unfortunately many are biblically illiterate. They haven't read their own Bibles. And so it just appeals to their flesh, because we all kind of like to feel like we're doing something good, especially if we can do the good where it doesn't really cost us anything. It's the government's money you're fighting for to get to the right poor. It's not your money. And so that's why I think it's so appealing to a man or a Christian man that is very immature.
Curtis, thank you so much to you and your family for coming last night. It was just a highlight of this year. We just pray all of God's best and grace on your family. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a great evening.
Okay. More on the Christian Worldview right after this.
The Christian Worldview Speaker Series are one-night events that feature a compelling speaker presenting a message on a current topic, followed by Q&A. The purpose is to provide strong, in-person, biblical worldview content in a short format. The inaugural event is set for Friday, May 10th at 7 p.m. Central at University of Northwestern St. Paul, and will feature Curtis Bowers, producer of the award-winning Agenda films, speaking on how socialism is impacting the country and the church. No registration, no cost, free will offering. Seating on first-come basis, max capacity 315. Live streaming on Facebook. More information at thechristianworldview.org/speaker or by calling 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview Speaker Series with Curtis Bowers, Friday, May 10th, 7 p.m. Central at University of Northwestern St. Paul. Hope to see you there. Environmental scaremongering is the favored tactic of the left to gain massive government control. After all, if you can convince people that we are imperiling our very existence by human-caused climate change, there is no tax, law, or reordering of society that goes too far. Christians need to be fully informed of this nefarious climate change scheme. That is why we are offering two resources by Cal Beisner, founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, who brings a truthful, biblical worldview to this issue. Climate Change in the Christian is an 80-minute DVD message, and The Cosmic Consequences of Christ's Crosswork is a 15-page booklet. One or both are available for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
It's Mother's Day weekend, and we'd like to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers listening today. Typically, we have my parents on the program around this time of year. We're planning to do that in an upcoming week, but we had the Christian Worldview Speaker Series event last night. So with this weekend going on, we decided to do a recap of that event. Again, you can watch the event if you missed it at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Thanks to all of you who came out to the event. It was great to see you in person and meet so many people and listeners and so forth. And thank you for your support of the Christian Worldview. All our volunteers are so helpful. I mean, we just couldn't do these events on our own. There's just no way. There's just too many moving parts with every element of an event like that. So we're thankful to all of you who came out. And I have to apologize a little bit. At these events, you know, we're trying to coordinate things and keep things on track. And sometimes we're having conversations and I feel badly. I have to go, you know, start this next element, next part of the event tonight. So I feel badly. I can't just kind of sit back and relax and talk with some of you a little more, but it's difficult when we're trying to keep the event on track so we don't end too late at night. But it was a great night last night, and thank you to all who came out to the event. And Curtis family is just great to be with. They are what's great about America. I'll tell you, when you see them together, you know, their faith, of course, in Christ, and just the way they live their lives and their children. It's just it's a beautiful thing to see the Bowers family. So. And those who came, I think, know exactly what I'm talking about there. So today we're doing a recap of the event last night. We have a lot of sound bites we're going to get to from Curtis's message last night. But I think I'd like to read just an article from the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank. And it was entitled, What Americans Must Know About Socialism. It's written by a historian named Dr. Lee Edwards. I just want to read the first few paragraphs because I think it gives us an understanding of why socialism, what it is, and why it's on the rise so much. He says, there is disquieting evidence of many young Americans' sympathy for socialism. Now listen to these numbers. 2 million people under the age of 30 voted for Democrat socialist Bernie Sanders in the 2016 Democrat primaries and caucuses. Polls find that not only do a large majority of millennials, those are age 18 to about 40, let's say, would prefer, have a favorable view of socialism. A near majority would prefer to live under socialism rather than capitalism. Socialism is no longer a parlor game for academics to talk about in the universities, but it's a political alternative to be taken seriously by millennials who are not put off by the radical Democrat socialist platform. Remember, there's kind of a couple kinds of socialism. There's kind of a soft socialism or full-blown socialism. There's also Fabian socialism, which believes in change through evolution rather than revolution, rather than violence. So there's some socialists out there who want to overturn the system through violence and just take in a socialist country. But there's also those who want to do it through the democratic process, through the voting process, take over the institutions of the country, the media, the academics, the educational system, the entertainment industry, a big business. You get all these organizations and it's pretty pervasive throughout society. The article goes on to say, Democrat socialists believe in ending the private ownership of industries – whose products are viewed as, quote, necessities. Well, that's pretty arbitrary. The production of such products, it argues, should not be left to profit, quote, profiteers. So they want everything equalized. You know, government mandate controlled, owned businesses. So there's no elite class of people who are running and creating the wealth in the country. It also believes that government should, quote, democratize private businesses. That is, give workers over control over them. Instead of having the evil business owners controlling their workers, you give the workers control over the business. They make the decisions for themselves. You can see how that would turn out. Well, I guess I'll give myself a raise. Socialism, explains a member of Democrat Social of America National Steering Committee, is the democratization of all areas of life, including but not limited to the economy. Okay, next paragraph. What is happening in America? Once the guiding light for capitalism, the first part of that answer lies in two words, and it's not Karl Marx, although he's the inspiration, but Bernie Sanders. The senator from Vermont captured the hearts and the votes of many millennials with his call for single-payer health care, universal government-controlled health care, free public college, government paid for. Not, it's not free. Taxpayers, income producers are taxed, and that money is redistributed by the government to pay for people's college, so it's free to them. Campaign finance reform. So you can't give very much. You can't give an unlimited amount to political campaigns. So that diminishes the power to influence of those who have done well in society. And racial, economic, and climate justice. You just throw justice on the end of anything and people, their eyes roll back and think it's a good thing. The prime target of his animus was the, quote, top 1% in America who own, it is true, some 40% of the nation's total wealth. So 1% of the country owns 40% of the nation's wealth. As they own as much as the nation's wealth as the bottom 90%. But what Bernie Sanders rarely pointed out was that the same top 1% paid about 40% of all the taxes in this country. So think about that. You have the top 1% is paying close to 50% of all the taxes that are being used for everything in this country. So do you want to get rid of them? They're paying everyone else's way. Sanders had a ready explanation for how to pay for all the freebies. Increase the taxes on the rich, of course, and their corporations. In Bernie's world, there is such a thing as a free lunch because the bill will be paid by those at the top. Now, one thing that came up last night was the fact that Christians should not be for no government, no regulation, because the same sin nature that people will say, hey, I want something for nothing. Yeah, I'll just be lazy and not work, and you pay for everything for me. That's socialism. Is the same sin nature that will cause a business owner, that top 1%, to say, hey, I can increase my profits and make more money if I'm allowed to hire, you know, 14-year-old girls and make them work 18 hours a day and pay them $1 a day. Okay, so Christians aren't for that either. Absolutely not, because that same sin nature causes both ends of the spectrum to behave in a sinful way. But what the American ideal was, had that much better in ratio in past decades than what it is now. And certainly I think there was a times in American history way back, further back, where it was maybe out of whack too much, where too much power was given to some of the business owners. And the workers do need protections. I'd be the first one to say that. That's unjust to treat people in such a way that it's terrible for their health or their families or everything else. So there's a balance there. We are for limited government. The point is limited. Not big government. Let's go on to say in this article, because Sanders, where are we here? Millennials rallied in the many thousands behind Sanders because they are socially liberal. Now, this is interesting. Millennials, 18 to 40, rallied in the many thousands behind Sanders because they are socially liberal. Now, why would social liberalism lead you to socialism? They're liberal, especially on gay and homosexual rights. But they're also saddled with mountains of student debt. They're disillusioned with the status quo and eager to break with traditional models. Let's just break that down a little bit. They're socially liberal. You see how your worldview on morality, if you are liberal on morality, that will lead you to being liberal on economic and other issues as well. It's just the way it is. We always make up an ideology for ourselves, philosophies that will track with how we want to live morally, right? Philosophy, worldview follows the way we want to live morally. Then you go to the second aspect, saddled with mountains of student debt. So they're in debt and they're disillusioned with the status quo. They have lots of debt and they're going to, someone's going to pay off their debt for them. I mean, what kind of great deal is that? People often typically vote in their self-interest. Well, this candidate's telling me he's going to pay off my mountains of student debt. Wow, this is a great deal. They're disillusioned with the status quo as well. I think that's partly due to the fact that there's a tunnel vision here in America. We don't realize often what the rest of the world is like. You know, I like to call them first world problems. Oh, you know, my lawn or my car, you know, I'm always having trouble with my car. You know, well, people in other parts of the world don't even have cars. They're riding bikes around. They don't have lawns. They don't have individual homes. You know, we start to complain about the luxuries that we enjoy in America, and that the bottom 1% in America lives like a middle-class life compared to somewhere else in the world who live in abject poverty. So it's easy to not have perspective on how great of a country we actually have. Bernie provided solutions to all their problems without detailing the price, and this is important, or conceding the lessening in individual liberty. That is key, because socialism is always done by force. People think, oh, it's going to help people and so forth. Yeah, you know how it's going to help people? You're going to tax people. What's taxation? Taxation is forced coercion. You're taking money from people against their will. It's not charitable at all. Not charitable in one sense at all. It says in Acts 2, they had all things in common in the early church. Jesus said in Matthew 25, help the least of these. That's all charitable. It's all voluntary, you helping another because of your love for someone else and the opportunity to tell them about the gospel. That's all voluntary, charitable. That's not socialism. Socialism is completely not voluntary. It's completely forced, coercive, where the government, big government comes in and says, we're going to do it this way, and you get in line or else. That is the huge difference that we need to understand. Article goes on to say, you can build a powerful political movement with a base of 2 million true believers. And he gets into the whole situation in Scandinavia. That's always held up as being this great socialist utopia, but it's not exactly socialist over there. It's kind of a crossbreed system of big government socialist social programs mixed with a capitalistic engine in the business world. So they can make the money there and then they redistribute it in other elements. But the dirty little secret is they don't have the kind of diverse, gigantic, huge country with the kind of military we need to be able to keep the world in a safe place from being taken over by the evil regimes. Back after this.
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just mocked when they're born.
That's Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. We ought to never become indifferent to the slaughter of the innocents taking place in our country. This is why we are offering a DVD series entitled Life is Best that will equip you to stand for life and against this injustice. In this two DVD set are 13 episodes that address all the facets of abortion, from the worldview battle to what you can do. For a limited time, you can order the Life is Best DVD series for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $49 plus shipping. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax-deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for joining us today on the Christian Worldview radio program as we recap our event last night, the Christian Worldview Speaker Series event, and how socialism is impacting the country and the church. Our featured speaker was Curtis Bowers, the producer of the Agenda films. You can find out more and order the films at his website, agendadocumentary.com, or we have them as well at thechristianworldview.org. I was just thinking during the break there, just what it's like, the dynamic of, let's say, a young woman in her, let's say, early 20s, never been married, maybe has a child out of wedlock in the situation she's in current America. And so she gets support from the government for food, for housing, for childcare. And what does that do to her? And there's an incentive if she has more children out of wedlock that she'll get more money. So what does that do to her? First of all, it puts her in a position of not feeling the consequences of making a bad decision in being with a man before she was actually married. And so it perpetuates that sort of sinfulness, children out of wedlock, immorality out of, or sexual engagement out of marriage. It also enslaves her because she has really no other option now. What does she do? You know, she needs money to live. Everyone needs to eat, right? And so she has to be on the take from the government. And to do that, again, you have to take more from those who are working hard and income producing to support those who aren't able to or who can't or don't want to. And if she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to. So it can lead into a laziness like, well, gee, I don't have to get a job and I really can't get a job because I have a child now. You can see this perpetual cycle is just horrible. And then the last part of it is she's never going to hear a message from the government supporting her about how she can become right with God through Jesus Christ, which will change her worldview and the way she sees her life, the way she lives morally, the way she sees marriage, the way she sees work, all these things, the way she's going to raise her child, because then it just perpetuates with her child. Her child grows up and does the same thing, and the whole thing's a vicious cycle. That is socialism. And that's why it is so not just bad for society, but it's so unbiblical. You know, there are no consequences. When there are no consequences to the decisions we make in life, Scripture, Bible has consequences. You reap what you sow. And if we don't feel those consequences because someone's always propping us up, we're never going to change. And the only way that changes, that young woman changes, is for her to feel the consequences of what she's done wrong and to then hear the gospel message and understand that God created her to be in relationship with him. And he's created the family, and he's created marriage. And that's the institution, the fundamental institution of society that God's created so that humans can flourish, so that she can have a husband and the husband can work and then they can earn money, and then they can pay for their kids, and they can pay for food, and they can be independent from the enslavement of being in bondage to government. That's the battle that is at taking place in this country. And it is socialism versus free market capitalism. And it's not just economics. It gets into all the social fabric, the LGBTQ movement. All that stuff is all part of the socialist agenda. Okay, let's go to that. We have a lot of sound bites we could get to today. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. So just bear with us. We're just going to go through some of the important things that Curtis talked about last night. The first one is, why is socialism taking root?
Secondly, you see more and more people are believing the idea the good of the many outweighs the good of the few. Now, if that doesn't sound too bad to you, you've been influenced by the media, by movies, but whatever. The good of the many outweighs the good of the few. All that is Marxism. That's communism. When that belief is believed and then implemented from the top down, it always creates slaughter and abuse of different groups of people and different individuals. Our founding fathers knew that was a disaster, so they carefully crafted the Declaration, the Constitution, and everything to be focused on only one thing: protecting each individual person. That's all they cared about. They said, no, no, no. If we take care of the individual, the collective will be just fine.
That's exactly right. And that just flipped today. We take care of the collective, and you can't have forced equality, everyone having the same thing, forced universal equity without taking away personal liberties. That's like a formula. You cannot have both perfectly. If you want individual liberty, there's going to be differences in society. You can't have perfect equity in society. But that's what socialists do. They just flip it. The founders focused on individual liberties, knowing if they foster these biblical principles of individual liberties, freedom of speech and religion and in work and business and so forth, that would build people, incentivize them to work hard, to make good decisions, to be in families, to raise kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the way it started. But now it's flipped the other way, where the incentive is, how do we take care of the big group, forced equality for all, which then just tramples in the end on individual rights of people. We see that right now in the whole battle between the homosexual movement and Christians who want to have their own convictions, biblical convictions. Whose rights are going to win out? Well, we can see whose rights are winning out in this country, sadly. It's whenever there's a conflict, whenever someone, a homosexual couple, goes into a cake shop and wants to get a wedding cake done for their so-called marriage, and a Christian says, I do not, it's against my religious convictions, my beliefs, to participate in that ceremony, it seems like the government is often siding with the homosexual movement. So there's a loss of religious rights for Christians in this country because of that. It's not a matter of, hey, just go somewhere else to go bake a cake for your so-called marriage somewhere else. That would be one thing. That would be more tolerance. Okay, you don't want to bake a cake for us? That's your conviction? Fine, we'll go somewhere else. Someone else who's willing to do it. Great. But that's not what happens. It's, you won't bake a cake for us? Okay, you're going to be punished. You're going to be forced to comply, and you're going to be forced to go along with, you're going to be forced to affirm the sin that offends you. That's where the rub comes in. Okay, let's go next to the next soundbite, which is a little later here. They don't have an easy way of getting to the soundbites today, but here is how socialism is being manifested to the younger generation.
Self very powerfully is through the millennials. And I see some here tonight. I'm so thankful you are here. Now listen to me. This is what is happening to our precious children, okay? The media gives them disinformation that brainwashes them, just kind of like the Soviets did, so they don't have a clue what's really going on. Then the entertainment world pressures them through political correctness to believe it's wrong to speak against the trends of the day, like socialism. And if you want to be cool, you better go along to get along. So it destroys their individuality and their thinking ability. And then the educational system, using psychological manipulation, intentionally dumbs them down and has been doing it for 50 years while telling them all the time, you're the smartest kids there's ever been. This generation of millennials, and I know there's exceptions, and probably those of you that are here, you're the exceptions, but have been taught everybody gets a first place trophy and there are no losers, and there are just all this lies of psychological manipulation. All the while.
Okay, I'm going to go on to the next part of this answer, because it's what millennials are now think of themselves as a result of all this manipulation by the media and others. Here's that soundbite.
When they are asked to rate themselves as far as where do you think you stand in the world, in math, science, history, in every category, where do you think American kids like yourself, where do you rate? Do you know where they rate themselves? Number one in every single category, even though they're 25th to 40th in most of the categories. So here is what happens. This has been purposeful. This is not, the millennial generation thinks they're the smartest generation in history when really they're the dumbest. And I don't say that as a cut down. I say that as, and it's not their fault. It's been purposeful. We've got to dumb them down so they'll accept our vision of a new world. And so they get out of college. They go, I'm the smartest guy ever. I even went to college, got a college degree, and they find they can't get a good job. And they're looking, hey, I should start at least $100,000 a year because I'm the smartest kid that's ever been. and they can't find those jobs because they're not prepared for those jobs. They were ripped off. And so here's what happens. They know the problem couldn't be me. It must be the system. And so they realize we need a system change. This free enterprise capitalist system is unjust. Look at me. I have a college degree. There's no one sharper on the planet, and I can't find a good job. That means this is not good. And you're going to see over the next 10 or 15 years, as socialism grows, the young people are going to be calling for a system change.
Yeah, they're already calling for that system change now. You can feel it in this country. And by the way, hardly anyone goes out and talks about, oh, this is, you know, I'm a socialist. I mean, Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez admit it. They're part of the Democrat Socialist Party in the Democrat Party, but they're Democrat Socialists. But most people don't want to use it. There's a pejorative to that word. There's a negative connotation to socialism at the moment. So they use other nicer sounding words. They talk about social justice and basic universal income and single payer health care, which is government controlled health care. They talk about, immigration, open borders and so forth. Well, that's just get more people into the country, stress the system so the government has to be more involved. All of these things, debt elimination for students in college, the educational system, gun rights, redefinition of the biblical family and marriage and morality. They're all just socialist policies that Karl Marx envisioned, but they can't use the word socialism too much because it scares people. But they're getting bolder and bolder and bolder about it, and we're going to see more of it. And that's why, Christians, we need to be informed. We need to at least close the doors at the gates of our churches. More after this on the Christian Worldview.
Environmental scaremongering is the favored tactic of the left to gain massive government control. After all, if you can convince people that we are imperiling our very existence by human-caused climate change, there is no tax, law, or reordering of society that goes too far. Christians need to be fully informed of this nefarious climate change scheme. That is why we are offering two resources by Cal Beisner, founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, who brings a truthful, biblical worldview to this issue. Climate Change in the Christian is an 80-minute DVD message, and The Cosmic Consequences of Christ's Crosswork is a 15-page booklet. One or both are available for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Get ready for your summer reading with the lowest prices of the year on My Boy Ben and University of Destruction, both written by David Wheaton and owned by The Christian Worldview. Readers have been touched by My Boy Ben, a moving story about David's close companionship with a yellow lab that culminates in an encouraging message about God's grace in our most trying times. And if you know a high school or college student, you'll want to read and give them University of Destruction, your game plan for spiritual victory on campus. Take advantage of this limited time offer with our lowest prices of the year. Both books make excellent gifts, especially when you request them signed and personalized. The My Boy Ben ebook is also available. Order online at thechristianworldview.org, by phone at 1-888-646-2233, or by mail at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Final segment of the day, this Mother's Day weekend, and a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there listening to the Christian Realview today. So grateful for you and the major, major impact that you have on raising the next generation. Very grateful to my own mother. So happy Mother's Day, Mom, and we're looking forward to having you come on the program. We're so thankful that you're still with us, you and Dad. Another year, we just can't believe it. God has been so good to our family in keeping both of you with us for so long. So we're looking forward to that program coming up. If you missed the Christian Worldview Speaker Series event last night, really highly encourage you to go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, and just click on the link there on the homepage. It'll take you to the video from the event last night, and you can watch the entire event there. Just really, really went well. We're so thankful to the Lord for how that event went and so many of you who came out to that event. And by the way, we have another one coming up, Christian Worldview Speaker Series in September, on September 15th. This one is going to be, this one's on the impact of social justice on the gospel. So it's, it sounds the same. This is a different topic here. This is going to get by Daryl Harrison. He's a former fellow of the Black Theology and Leadership Institute. I believe it was at Princeton. And he's fantastic. You probably remember him on the program last year, and we're excited to have him come. That event's not going to be at University of Northwestern, though. That one's going to be at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Same time. It's a Sunday evening this time, the September 15th, 7 p.m. And that is the day before September 16th, which is our golf, our annual golf and dinner event, which is going to be back at Woodhill Country Club in Wayzata, Minnesota this year. So we have a lot coming up this year. I hope you can put those dates on your calendar and come out to those events. We of course, love the radio program, and there's a place for radio, but there's also a place for in-person events where we can do more in-depth examination of some of these issues. Okay, a few more sound bites before we end the day here on the program. The next one here is about how this issue of social justice or socialism is coming into the church.
That's what's happening. And as I get into now, how is socialism manifesting itself in the evangelical church? Well, now in September, your next speaker series is specifically on this issue. An expert's coming. He's going to go into this in detail. So I'm just briefly getting into it. But it's an important topic, because if we allow them to capture the church, we're in trouble, right? And so is every lost man in trouble. Because then we're not shining the light of the truth of the gospel, and that's not loving. That's all these plans are giving false hope to the hopeless. You know, false roadmap to the lost. It's false, and that's what's going on. And you young people need to go, I'm giving them real hope, because there is real hope. And we're giving them real answers, and we're giving them the truth. And so The church, of course, has been a main target of the left, and my movies go into this in detail, because they knew if you can influence the church, you can influence millions of people. And they've been desperate ever since to enlist the church in their little schemes, whatever they may be. Lenin himself, who was a master strategist, the founder of the Soviet Union, said, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. And so they've been working for 100 years to get control of the church so they could use that, their number one enemy, as someone that's pushing forward their agenda.
Okay, that's exactly what has been the case. We've seen the pilot program for this took place in the mainline denominations 100 years ago when socialism was still around back then. They swallowed it. Yep, because it's always couched in terms of compassion. And what Christian isn't for compassion? Oh, for sure. Want to help those who are disadvantaged and hurting and in need and so forth. So there's a desire of Christians to want to help people and be compassionate. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But the means by which it's being done now is advocating, or was done by the mainline denomination, swallowed the lie that socialism is the way to do it. Tax people more, change forced equity in society, help the poor. Oh, you know what gets lost in all that? The gospel gets lost in all that, and the mission of the church gets lost in all that. So that's exactly the reason why mainline denominations, they teach nothing on Sunday but little stories and social good and, you know, be a good person and be nice to your neighbor and all that. The powerless nothingness of a non-gospel, that's what's going on in most of these churches, because they swallowed the lie of socialism 100 years ago. The problem is that the evangelical church is dallying with this as well now through social justice. Oh, social justice is a gospel issue. As soon as you make that your priority, that we have to rectify all these perceived injustices, the structural racism in this country, that blacks are oppressed and they're still oppressed. We need to have quotas so we get a certain number on each church board, and you need to have this survey done of your church, and we need to reach out to the gay community because you can be a gay Christian and same-sex attracted Christian, and we need to focus on these issues. The church has been bigoted and behind the times in these, okay? You start thinking that way, you're thinking wrongly for at first, but secondly, what gets lost in the shuffle immediately is when the focus goes on the social good, the gospel gets left way behind, and then people don't actually change, and the church gets altered forever. We cannot allow that to happen. I mentioned last night that America is the last thing standing in the world between the world imploding and going into globalism. This country is the last thing standing, but what's making this country still stand is a small segment of the population who are biblical Christians or evangelicals, who still have a semblance of biblical values applied to government and to society and so forth. You're saying, no, we don't want to go down that road. If that segment falls, the country is going to quickly change, and then the world is going to quickly change. Now, we may not be able to stop that. I'll be honest. I mean, we know the way the end's going to be. There is going to be a global government someday. The Antichrist is going to rise. The Bible is true. But where there still is worthiness in standing for what is right and pushing back for the gospel and biblical principles and trying to save and stall the church's move towards that direction, there's absolute worthiness in that. We are called to contend earnestly for the faith and the gospel. We're called to stand up for sound doctrine and point out non-sound doctrine. I don't know what percentage, but so much of the New Testament, as you read it, is an encouragement of do this, an exhortation to do good things, but also a warning of watch out for this teacher, watch out for this false doctrine. Don't go down that route. There's a balance there, and so much of evangelicalism today is only about keep it positive. You know, keep people happy, keep them smiling, get your arms up in the air, crank up the music. You know, don't preach on topics that are uncomfortable or controversial. There's no basis in truth for that at all in the New Testament. Just read the New Testament. See what people like Peter and Paul and Jesus, what they say. They strongly encourage the good, and they strongly point out the evil, the wrong way to go. And we need to do the same, because we do live in a changing and a very challenging America that is toying again with this going down this socialistic road. No, we're not socialistic yet, not by a long shot. But there is channels of socialism in our country that need to be identified and understood by Christians, and we must stop this move, especially at our churches. Because there is one thing, Christian, we can always trust in and count on, and that's this. Jesus Christ and his word, they are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we rely on them and trust in them, we will be blessed, and we will be doing what's good for God's glory and our good. Until next weekend, think biblically and live accordingly.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, his word, and his son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. Or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.